My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown, who represents the Peach State's 10th Congressional District. But he is not running for re-election to that seat this year. Instead, he is running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in the Peach State, given the fact that two-term Republican Saxby Chambliss is retiring. As you may know, it's a pretty crowded field. We spoke with Congressman Brown and some of the other candidates earlier on in the season. May 20th is the primary in the state, and most people assume that there will not be somebody who gets the 50%. So being in the top two is critical, because if nobody gets a majority, the top two will advance to a runoff. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg. It's great being with you and your listeners. And you're absolutely correct. We do have a crowded field. There's seven candidates in the race. And I was doing a radio interview recently. The guy I was talking to asked, Dr. Brown, you and everybody else are saying the same thing. What separates you from the others? And what separates me from them is that I have the record of fighting this out-of-control government, out-of-control spending, that they don't have. None of the other candidates have. I've got two House colleagues that are running. Both of them have been big spenders, big earmarkers, big government politicians. And we have former Secretary of State, a female. She kind of casts all three of us in the same vein, which is totally not true. In fact, I've got the record of standing firm to try to stop this out-of-control spending and deal with this unsustainable debt, where the other two do not. And then we have a self-funder who has spent millions of his own money trying to buy this campaign, and his whole race is, in fact, he's even said that we need to not only get rid of the three of us, but he said we've got to fire all 535 members of Congress and put him in place, and he'll solve all the problems of America, which, of course, his claim and then the female's claim are both preposterous, because both of them are blaming the three of us on the gridlock and not getting anything done in Washington. Well, it just shows that they don't understand, or if they do understand, they're trying to fool people about how I've been fighting to send powers back to the states, to the people, as the 10th Amendment says it should be. I stand firm on the Constitution. All the problems, Greg, that we see today, whether it's Benghazi, the IRS targeting conservative and pro-life groups, whether it's NSA getting your phone records and mine and reading our emails, which is totally unconstitutional, and actually it's against the law. They don't have in the law any legal authority to do that. The unconstitutional executive orders that presidents of both parties have been doing, the out-of-control spending, this debt that's unsustainable, all of those are symptoms. The disease is an out-of-control government that's left the powers that it has in the enumerated powers as the Constitution expresses them, and I've stood firm on the Constitution. So what separates me from all the rest of them is that I have a record. I'm fighting to send those powers back to the states of the people and leave money in your pocket and everybody else's.
Let's talk about some of the logistics in this race. Now, when we last talked to you, you were right there at the top tier in this race. Right now, you're still very competitive, but several of the latest polls suggest that it's David Perdue, Karen Handel, and Jack Kingston in the top three. And then you and Congressman Gingrich are a couple points behind them. Let's start with the attempts by Karen Handel especially, but I think David Perdue also, to tie all three of you to Washington, and therefore you're all dismissed as being part of the problem. You just explained why you don't think that's an accurate label and why you've been very different than the other two members of the House that are in this primary. But do you think that's working to some extent, that accusation?
Well, I hope people will see through that. I've made the ultimate outsider vote when We voted for Speaker of the House for this Congress. We had 20 of the most conservative members of the U.S. House that had signed a pledge to each other that we would not vote for John Boehner to be Speaker. Now, John Boehner is a nice guy. He's got a great suntan, and I understand he plays a good game of golf. But I saw him making deals with Barack Obama that I couldn't support, the stimulus package and bailouts and increasing the debt on us as well as our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. I couldn't support all those things, and I knew we needed a different leader, somebody who would stand up to Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid. I voted for Alan West to be the Speaker, but there were only 12 of us that upheld that pledge to each other. The other eight caved in because of the pressure of the leadership. And, in fact, when Madison Project endorsed my campaign, they said in their endorsement that even the most conservative fighters, after a year or two, tend to succumb to the establishment meat grinder. Paul Brown is inviolable. And the reason that I have stayed away from the establishment meat grinder is I have taken a firm stand when I was sworn in the Marine Corps to support and defend the Constitution 5 times now in the U.S. military. I'm in the military today. By the way, I was just promoted to commander in the Navy Reserve last Tuesday, and I was deployed to Afghanistan in 2012. So I know the military and I know the problems, and this is where we should be.